Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 20 and we're reading verses 19 to 23, which you can find on page 1029. Here is when we go back in time, those 50 days, to the day of the resurrection, in a passage entitled Jesus Appears to His Disciples. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. So it was on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, but with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, that Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, before a single word is spoken, we ask for your Holy Spirit, not because we are crafting a message, but because we are stewarding your truth. Give me clarity that I would not blur what you have made plain. Give me faithfulness that I would not bend it to suit us. And give me boldness that I would not soften what you mean to land. And for those in front of me today, Lord, I do not pray mainly that they would admire a sermon. I pray that the same Holy Spirit who came at Pentecost would come now and do in us what only he can do. In your holy name, amen. Please be seated. The same Spirit that Jesus breathed on a frightened few behind a locked door is the same Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost to send the whole church into an open street. And that same Spirit is still given to everyone today who calls on the name of the Lord. I want you to picture two rooms. In the first room, the doors are locked. The followers of Jesus are huddled together. The windows are shut because they are afraid. In the second room, only a few weeks later, there is a sound like a violent wind, fire resting on ordinary heads, and these same frightened people spill out into a crowded city, speaking so boldly that strangers think that they are drunk. It's the same people following the same Jesus, and in just a few weeks, everything had changed in their lives and then in the world. The question that Pentecost puts to us is simple. What made the difference? And is that difference really on offer for us today? So let's start in the first room. John tells us it was the evening of the first day, the day Jesus had risen. And the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear. And Jesus comes in and stands among them. And he says, "Peace be with you." And then John records something that we can easily push past. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Hold that picture in your mind. It's quiet. It's intimate. It's behind closed doors. And Jesus breathed. The way that God breathed into dust and the man became a living being. Jesus is linking the creation of humanity in that breath as well. This is new creation beginning in a small huddle of afraid people. And that word breathed matters. Because in the language of the Bible, the word for breath and wind and spirit is one and the same. And do not miss what frames that breath. Before he breathes, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And after he breathes, he says, "The Father has sent me, and so I am sending you." So the Spirit is wrapped in two words, peace and sending. The breath that calms their fear is the same breath that commissions them to go. Even in that locked room, the Spirit was never meant to keep them comfortable. He was given to the apostles, and those apostles became people who were sent out into the world. Now let's walk into that second room, which we heard in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came. They were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. The same breath of Jesus now arrives in a storm. What was a whisper in the upper room becomes a gale that fills the building. And here is the tension. We tend to think that the Spirit is either gentle or powerful, either personal or public, either the quiet comfort behind our locked doors, or the force that drives us out into the street. But it is the same Spirit. The breath Jesus gave for peace is the wind that he also gives for mission. And that is the revelation. The Spirit who comes to be with you is the very Spirit who comes to send you out into the world. He does not settle on us so that we can stay locked in. He comes so that the door can finally be open. Which brings us to the signs. And notice how carefully Luke speaks. He does not say that there was wind. He says that there is a sound like violent wind. He does not say that there was fire. He says what seemed to be like tongues of fire. Because Luke is reaching for words. Because what is happening is real, but it is bigger than any room can hold. Look throughout the Bible. Whenever heaven comes down to earth, the baptism of Jesus, they say it was like a dove. We cannot have words that we can exactly describe what heaven is like. We reach for something that we can only understand, but it's much more powerful and bigger than we will ever know this side of heaven. But the wind speaks of power. This is the power Jesus promised when he said, "You will receive power from when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses." You cannot manufacture wind. You cannot bottle it. You cannot summon it. It comes from heaven and it moves where it will. The fire speaks of God's presence. Think of Moses and the burning bush, the fire that does not consume. Think of the pillar of fire leading Israel through the dark. And think of Isaiah, whose unclean lips were touched by a burning coal and he was made clean. Fire is God drawing near to dwell, to purify. And notice this, the fire separated and came to rest on each of them. Not on the leaders only, not on the gifted few, but on each of them. No one in that room is exempt from the presence of God. And that detail quietly overturns something we are slow to let go of. We are forever sorting the room. The spiritual ones at the front, the ordinary ones at the back. But the fire does not pick a few foreheads and let the rest pass by. It rests on each of them. The fisherman, the woman who followed from Galilee, the unknown names that we will never read, Every one of them, each carries the flame. Pentecost is not a stage with a few stars. It is a whole people set alight. And then we have the tongues. They begin to speak in other tongues. And the crowd that gathered is bewildered because each person heard their own language being spoken. These were not random sounds. They were real languages. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from every nation under heaven, each hearing the wonders of God in the language that they were born into. Do you see the bigger picture that is being painted? Long ago, a tower called Babel, humanity grasped at the heavens on its own terms. And God scattered their plans and them by confusing their language. One people became many people. Understanding became confusion. But here at Pentecost, the curse begins to run backwards. The barrier of language is overcome. Not by everyone being forced back into one tongue, but by God himself stooping to speak to each person where they are. That's the heart of it. Pentecost is the sign that the gospel is for the world and that God will come down to meet you in your own language, in your own life, exactly where you are. Now the crowd at this moment is split. Some are amazed and perplexed, asking, what does this mean? And others sneer. They had too much wine. And this is where Peter stands up. The same Peter who a few weeks before denied that he even knew Jesus. And he lifts his voice in front of thousands of people. And he says the proclamation about who Jesus is. That is the wind, the Holy Spirit now empowering Peter, doing its work. And what does he do? He reaches for scripture. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, he says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. Hear what Peter is saying. He is saying, the last days have begun. Not the last hours on a clock, but the final chapter of God's plan. The long promised age of the Spirit, and the mark of this age is that the Spirit is no longer given to a select few. In the old covenant, the Spirit came on a prophet here, a king there. Now he is poured out like a downpour on all flesh, sons and daughters, old and young, servant and free. No rank, no gender, no age is shut out. And then Peter lands on a line that holds the whole door open. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That one word, everyone, is the most important in the whole of his sermon. Because the Spirit who came with wind and fire on a chosen few in Jerusalem is being offered through his very preaching to anyone who will call on the name of the Lord. The locked room has not just been opened. The invitation has been thrown wide to the ends of the earth. But that was 2,000 years ago. What does that look like for us today here in Chalfont St Giles? Not in Jerusalem. Not in the year that it all began. Today, for us. Let me say three things plainly. First, do not measure the Holy Spirit by the noise. It is so tempting to read Acts 2 and assume that if there is no wind and no fire, nothing is happening. But remember the first room. Jesus breathed quietly. And just as truly, the Spirit, who he is, he sometimes comes like a storm, and he sometimes comes like the breath on the back of your neck. The question is never how loud it was. The question is whether you are being changed and being sent. It can be a frustration when you want the knowledge of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I had that when I first became a Christian. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit and knew that I had that moment. I would read of these great people. D.L. Moody is one of my heroes, a great preacher from America, was so filled with the Holy Spirit as he's walking down the street that he ran into a room and he kept saying, "No more God, no more." It was too much. And I wanted that. I wanted to be filled with God's love and compassion in the Spirit. And it never happened. I had people pray for me and pray for me, and it never happened. Because the Spirit was already in me doing his work. And actually, God knew me. I didn't need that overwhelming experience. Because you know what I would have done? I need it every day. I need it every week. God's like, no, you need to grow with the Spirit. Other people will have an amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's what they need. But God knows each of us. If we call on the name of the Lord, we receive his Holy Spirit. We pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us and to empower us, absolutely. But the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And it could be subtly, like the breath on the back of your neck. You might not recognize it. And that's what happened to me. I had to learn. Or it could be like D.R. Moody, where you're just saying, "No, Lord, no more. This is too much." And actually, that's quite a frightening experience as well. Because when heaven comes down, heaven really does come down. But be assured that if you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit is already with you. Secondly, the Spirit is given for witness, not for performance. The wind did not come so the disciples could enjoy a spiritual experience and stay indoors. It came and the doors flew open and they spoke about Jesus. Here is the simple test for your own life. The genuine work of the Spirit always moves you outward towards the people God has put in your language, your street, your family, friends, your work. If our churches are so respectable that no one could ever mistake us for people on fire, it is worth asking quietly whether we have locked a door that the Spirit was meant to open. When I became a Christian and I started learning about the Bible and I got to Pentecost as well and heard a sermon, one of my favourite things, and I love it, is the first, what we call apologetic for the Christian faith, the first pushback, as it were, to people when Peter talked about Jesus was, "We are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning." So Jesus, they go out speaking about Jesus. They're all speaking in other people's languages. And they go, "What's happening? They must be drunk." And the Christians go, "We're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. in the morning." Because they were so different. I pray that we're a church like that. When people go, "What? How did you know that about me? Or why are you speaking in a language that you don't even know? How do you know Bulgarian? How do you know that?" And you say, "God's given that to me." "No, no, you must be drunk." And you say, "No, it's 9 a.m. in the morning." Empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit makes us different, gives us, and it shocks people. And like us, when we're trying to describe heaven, and we say it's like a dove, like violent wind, like fire, they could go, "The only reason that they're different, it must be because they're drunk. Or they must be on something." And we say, "No, no, no. We're full of the Holy Spirit. God is real." And third, the Spirit makes one people out of many. At Babel, pride scattered. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gathers. The same Spirit rested on each of them and made them one body. So when we are tempted to let things divide people out there and divide us in here, whether it's language, background, politics, status, age, We are working against the same very spirit that we claim to have. A spirit-filled church will look like Pentecost. Many kinds of people hearing one Lord in a way each of us can understand. Yesterday I had coffee with a lady who's on the edge of church. I invited her to come. I keep inviting her to come, and one day she will come. And I talked about community. This lady craves community. And as I spoke about us many times in this church, that we are a community that love each other across our differences. And at the moment, you could say the biggest difference in the world and in our country is politics, left versus right, which really annoys me, because we're united and stronger together than divided apart. But what unites us is our belief in Jesus Christ, whether you're left or right. We get along because Jesus unites us. We might disagree on how the economy should be run or the NHS, but Jesus unites us. And that's what makes us stronger, because we're a community that loves each other. And when we work together and we're not divided, that in a divided world is something that people actually crave. And that's why the invitation was there. Because I want people to come into this church because they're looking for community, and then they can find Christ. But I want people to come into this church and say, how can you get on? Don't you, you know, don't you campaign for the Lib Dems? Don't you campaign for Reform Party? I don't get this. But you're here in this church. Why aren't you ripping each other's eyes out? Because that's what the society says. And we say no. Because we have Jesus at the centre. And we might disagree on our politics, but we love Jesus. That heals a world. We are better and stronger together as a community. We should not divide ourselves, and we should not argue with each other, because we are doing what the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to do. So this morning, let's hear the invitation as Peter's crowd heard it. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you have never called on his name, you think you do not need the wind, you do not need the fire. The thing you need to do is simply call, and it will be given to you. The same risen Jesus who stood in that locked room and said peace stands here today, offering you his spirit. And the simple thing that we do is to call on him. And to those of us who already believe, the word is just as direct. Stop living as though the door is locked. The spirit you received was never given so that you could hide. It was given so you could be sent. Ask him afresh today to fill you with what is empty, to warm you where it has gone cold, to push open whatever door you would have been keeping shut. I prayed, Jesus, use me as you want. He took a pretty broken person. He took a person who, and I spoke this before, couldn't speak to people. I said this to this lady yesterday. You meet me 25, and Paola would know this. She's probably one of the people who knows this. That I couldn't even go to meet that person yesterday and sit and have a coffee. I had such anxiety, I would struggle to leave the house and go to speak people. And yet, through my own will, but also with God's help, he's enabled me to go and speak and proclaim the gospel boldly. We might think we are inadequate or we don't have the gifts and skills to do stuff, but God knows us. And through his Holy Spirit, he changes us. Whether we're young or old, he will use us in different ways. All we need to do is ask him to enable us to do the work that he has given us. Let's not keep that door shut. It was easy for me to hide. It was easy for me to stay where I was comfortable. But I said, no, I want to serve you and I want to go out. I'm nothing special at all. But we are special to God. And God knows each of us. And you can do stuff that I can't do. And I can do stuff that you can't do. That's the blessing of the gifts that God gives us. So let us not hide behind a door. Let's pray that God will send us out. So let us finish in prayer. Lord Jesus, you breathed on frightened disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And you poured him out at Pentecost so the world could hear. Do it again among us, for those calling on your name for the first time. Save them as you promised. For those who have grown afraid behind locked doors, send your wind, fill us, unite us, and send us out as your witness. In your name we pray. Amen.